Good morning, everyone. It is Wednesday, November 23. Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. A very good morning to you wherever and however you are listening. And we're broadcasting from the Stain Hotel, the iconic Stain Hotel in Manly, across the road from the beach. I want to see the sunrise this morning, something we never get to do. Outstanding morning, beautiful morning. And we're just 22 minutes away from kickoff. The Socceroos at the World Cup up against France this morning, where they're rank outsiders, of course, but there's been a shock to rock the World Cup. Last night, Saudi Arabia beat Argentina. Yes, beat Argentina 2-1. The first major upset of the tournament. And the other games overnight, there have been two scoreless draws. And in our group, so this is advantageous for us, Denmark and Tunisia scoreless, and Mexico and Poland have just finished scoreless as well. But a very good morning to you, Pup. What a morning.
Morning, boys. Morning to our listeners. Yeah, it's an absolute cracker out there, Middo. Sun's on its way up. As you just mentioned, weather looks awesome today, but nice to be on this side of town. Got to say, I haven't been to Manly for a while. A few memories at this pub a few years ago, that's for sure, back in the heyday. But, yeah, it's nice to be. So, big morning. Hopefully the Socceroos can just play their best footy. I think that's what everyone wants to see. Just compete, play their best. And as you just mentioned, we've already seen one upset. Who knows?
Who knows?
Come on, the Aussies.
And morning to you, Loza. Well, Saudi Arabia were a bigger price than the Socceroos are, because one punter at tab had $160,000 on Argentina at $1.13. At the moment, France are $1.22 against us, $13. The draw paying $6.50, but that is a seismic result. Saudi Arabia beating Argentina.
Oh, wonderful result for the tournament. Not a great start by Argentina, though. They came into this tournament unbeaten after 36 games. So that just shows you the type of form they're in. They won the Copa America. They are a team that has arguably the greatest player the game's ever produced in Lionel Messi, and they go down in the first round of the World Cup. So that's a massive upset, but it's all about Australia this morning, boys, taking on France. And obviously France come into this contest as favourites, and you know, they're reigning or defending champions. And they will be looking to start the tournament off on a good note. But they shouldn't underestimate the Aussies. The Aussies have got, we always talk about, and will continue to talk about, the fighting spirit. They're just numbers on the backs for the Aussie players. Arnie's name beside. I think there's six players that will make their World Cup debut. They're excited. They'll be up. But whether they can match the skill or not, we'll find out. But they'll certainly be ready to have a crack.
Okay, just seeing the Aussie side, they're going with a 4-3-3, the Socceroos. So Matt Ryan, obviously at the back, the captain. Nathaniel Atkinson, Kai Rolls, Aziz Beige, Harry Suter. Across the back, Aaron Moy, Riley McGree, Jackson Irvine, with Leckie, Mitch Duke, and Craig Goodwin in that 4-3-3 formation. So that is the 11 we're going with. Just having a look at this French side. Yeah, Lloris, the keeper, is the captain. Look at the stars here. Konate, Griezmann, Olivier Giroud, Kylian Mbappe, Ousmane Dembele. So plenty of firepower there for the French. It's going to be tough, but bring it on. Kicking off in less than 20 minutes' time. Wasn't tough, though, for the Aussie cricketers last night. Pup, 221 runs via the Duckworth-Lewis method, as Travis Head clubbed 152 off 130 balls. Dave Warner, 106. That's his first one-day international century for quite some time. And 5 for 355. Rain shortened at 48 overs. In response, the English, well, eventually were rolled after 31.4 overs for 142, with Adam Zampa taking 4 for 31. Paddy Cummins, 2 for 25 off 6 overs and 2 maidens. Sean Abbott in the side yesterday, 2 for 45. Josh Hazlewood, 1 for 21 off 7. A wicket for Mitchell Marsh as well. So a dominant performance with the bat from the Aussies, to say the least.
Yeah, Aussies brilliant. England horrible. England Harvey Norman, really, in the entire series. And they've made it clear. They didn't see any point in these three one days. They said they'll still be celebrating their World Cup win, and they've played that way as well. So, no, well done to Aussies. Well done. Travis Head, unbelievable. Davey Warner, brilliant up the top as well, but Travis Head was exceptional. He certainly cemented his spot at the top of the order with no Aaron Finch anymore retiring from one-day cricket. So, yeah, good series win from Australia. Dominant, and that's what they needed, I guess, to, you know, get the fans forgetting about the T20 World Cup and looking forward to some positive cricket now throughout this summer with the test matches next in line against West Indies.
10,406 at the MCG yesterday. Looks pretty empty, doesn't it, when
horrible.
There's 10,000 people
horrible.
There?
Yeah, I watched a bit of it on TV. It just looked like there was absolutely no atmosphere. And at Melbourne as well. Like, Melbourne, they just find a way to turn up. Even when you think we've seen too much cricket, there's so much other stuff on, but they normally just turn up. But, yeah, disappointing crowds for the entire series. But expected as well. Like, I think you're asking a lot if you want the fans to turn up when there's a three one-day matches that no one really cares about. And before a ball's bowled, Josh Butler, the England captain, comes out and says, mate, we're nowhere near our best. We're still celebrating the World Cup.
Yeah.
So, yeah, certainly not Australian fans' fault, but disappointing for this current Australian team that no one's there watching, or very little are there watching.
That was the 150th one-day international at the MCG and the lowest ever attendance for an ODI at the MCG. There was 12,077 at a match back in 1979.
That's a horrible stat. Burn
not good,
that
is
stat,
it?
Mate. Cricket Australia would not want to see that.
Well, Cricket Australia have to look at this.
Yeah.
I know, you know, we're slaves to the Future Tours program, etc., to an extent, but there's something wrong. There's something wrong.
That's just that stat tells you that.
Our next home one-day international is against the West Indies in January 2024. And, you know, we're probably thinking, I'll remember how it was, etc., back in our day, but I think we...
Hang on.
Yeah,
there's
home one-day
no
international.
One-day internationals next summer.
Well, there is, not till January.
Oh, in
so
Jan.
It goes back to after the test. That's what I was going to say. I think we're conditioned play the test matches and then play the one-days right in the middle of school holidays as well.
Yeah.
When we're sort of conditioned to cricket by that point, we want to go.
Yeah, well, it seems like what they've done this season is, and I don't know if it does have impact, but it seems like they've worked around the BBL this season to
and
allow
the T20 World Cup,
and
course.
The T20 World Cup to allow school holiday cricket to be that to be the kids' focus, where then, like you say, next January it'll go back to the one days will then compete with BBL, so you won't see any of the Australian players taking part. Speaking of the BBL, I think a couple of players just been pulled out. I think Livingston from England has just pulled out, who was the number one draft pick. So he's gone. So there's another smack in the mouth for the BBL. And I think there was another WA player that pulled out as well. So, or got ruled out. So, yeah, that's disappointing for that tournament as well. And, I don't know how much cricket you're going to see these Australian players play in the BBL. 2020 World Cup, some token one days. Now they've got test matches. It's going to be interesting.
Loza, did you see the scenes at Sydney Airport yesterday as Samoa came back? There were people there from 5 a.m. waiting for their heroes coming out of their World Cup final efforts to greet them there yesterday. Awesome to see. Those pictures on the news last night, how good.
Yeah.
What a great community.
And
they
it shouldn't
are.
Have been unexpected either, because we've seen the turnout with the Samoan fans all the way through this tournament, in particular out there west of Sydney. They have supported their team. They've got right behind them. They got out there to the airport yesterday. There were tremendous scenes. They were singing. They were praying. There were tears. And it just shows you the support and what it means to people. They represented their tiny nation so well. They made it through to a final where a lot of people thought they wouldn't be able to get there. They knocked off a couple of heavyweights on the way to the final. And they acquitted themselves quite well. Australia were always going to win. And, you know, to only be beaten by 20 points in the final, I think they, you know, while they weren't as good as they were in the previous couple of weeks, it was always a tougher challenge coming up against Australia. But they overachieved. They did it the hard way. They lost a lot of players throughout the tournament. But to see those scenes out at the airport yesterday, it just shows you what it means to people. And we need a strong international program. That's what's convinced me over the last couple of years, to see the way the Pacific nations in particular, the Tongas and the Samoans, get right behind their national team. And I think this is an area of the game that we can improve so much.
Early text here. G'day, boys. Hoping you could give my mate Greg a massive shout-out for his 40th birthday today. He loves the shows, a big Laurie fan and a Raiders tragic who would have read The Milk 1,000 times or more. It would mean the world to him. Go the Socceroos, says Dave on the Central Coast. So there you go. Happy 40th there to Greg today. And what a
happy
day to
40th,
have you,
Greg. Yeah.
What a day to have your 40th.
Jeez.
Socceroos in a World Cup match. Outstanding weather. Minutes away from kickoff, France and the Socceroos in Qatar this morning. The market with Tab has France $1.22, Australia $11, the draw paying $7. If you're just tuning in, seismic result overnight. Saudi Arabia have beaten Argentina 2-1. 2-1 Saudi Arabia over Argentina. And, well, the Argentinians, they were shorter than what France are against the Socceroos. So who knows? The day started with a shock over there in Qatar. Could it end in one as well? But the headlines, and what about this one, pup? Front and back page of the Daily Telegraph today. I think this had a sense of inevitability about it. And Justin Langer speaking about his demise as Australian coach. You've gone behind my back, Pat. Langer unloads. That's the front page of the Daily Telegraph today. And on the back page, cowards. And the direct quote here, everyone was being nice to my face, but I was reading about this stuff and half of it, I could not believe that it was making the papers. And so he's just saying that, you know, basically he thought his conversations with the players were pretty forthright and solid, that he was reading about this stuff in the papers as the sort of all unfolded his end as Australian coach. And he says, well, here's a quote. He talks about the leaks and he says, quote, a lot of journalists use the word source. I would say change that word to coward. A coward is not a source.
Ouch.
So he hasn't missed there, Justin Langer.
Well, it's generally the case always where there's obviously conversations being had behind Lang's back here. And whether it's players direct to media or players to their own personal agents that are going to media, but whatever it is, it's poor. It's poor form. Like some of the things you read through there, that's not leadership. You know, I think Finchie and Pat Cummins will be devastated by what they read because it doesn't read well for those two. I think you sit in a position of leadership, you're going to have the courage to have those tough conversations. To be scared to confront your own coach who you meant to, you know, whether you agree with their decisions or get on well or whatever it is, I think as coach and captain, certainly in the Australian cricket team, that's who runs the team. So you've got to find a way to be able to communicate and get on and share that common goal. So it's a horrible read. And I think it's what a lot of the Australian public think it happened anyway. I think a lot of people think there was a number of conversations going on behind Lang's back, and Lang was either reading it in the paper or hearing it second, third, fourth hand, and probably wanting it. And there could be reasons. There could be reasons that the players or the leaders didn't feel comfortable going and fronting Lang and having that tough conversation. But, yeah, when you read this, it adds to the fuel at the moment on this Cricket Australia fire, on this Australian cricket team fire. So, yeah, I can guarantee you Paddy Cummins and Aaron Finch wake up this morning and read this paper. They're not happy with what they're reading.
It's interesting because he also sort of gives Tim Payne a rap and say, well, he was direct and clear with me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I think Payne said in his book as well that he enjoyed working with Lang. They had a very honest conversation, a very honest relationship. You know, they took over the Australian leadership at a tough time and Lang's like that though. Lang is like that. He's happy to, you know, as uncomfortable as it is, he's happy to hear the areas he needs to get better or if the team wasn't happy. And I think that's just a sign of respect in having that conversation. He probably feels very disrespected from a number of parties. I know everyone will be thinking, well, it's over, let's move on. But yeah, Lang's obviously airing some frustration that has been there for a long time. And I wish it was over. I wish we weren't talking about it, but it's always going to happen. Mm. And there'll be more. there's always more. There's always two sides to the story, but yeah, it's not a good read for anyone involved, put it that way.
Yeah, not good. Back page of the Australian, there it is as well. Langham wanted honesty, not cowards, is the headline there. Loz, we're just seeing the French singing their national anthem. Looks to be some green and gold in the crowd over there at Cathar.
I think they said, you know, about 7,000 Australian fans will be in the stadium this morning. Plenty of fans getting here at the Stain Hotel today, getting ready to watch this game. But there's plenty of French colours there in the stadium as well, and they're a mighty side as we see them building out the national anthem. But the Aussies, they'll be proud. It's going to be a big ask, and it's a big task in front of them, taking on the champions in France. But if there is a weakness in France, it's the fact that a number of their stars are missing, and none more bigger than the World Player of the Year, the Ballon d'Or winner in Benzema. So I know they've got depth, but Australia, hopefully, can start well. You don't want to concede a goal early in this tournament to put them on the back foot.
What's this like? Is this Australia versus Zimbabwe in cricket? Like, what's the comparable to this French team? Like, Loz just talking about the best players not there, but could they not beat this Australian team with their third team? Like, what are we comparing it to?
Probably not that far away, Clarkie.
Not that far. Not Australia versus Zimbabwe.
I think the Socceroos might be a better... There might be a better comp for the Socceroos than Zimbabwe in cricket, but you're not that far away.
Okay.
They should... Well, I mean, the odds say it all. We're $11.
Yeah, okay.
$11 to win this game. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, this is a huge, huge ask, but we saw Saudi Arabia beat Argentina.
That's a good point.
I mean, unbelievable.
That's sport right there.
And just, again, if you missed it before, the 11 we're going with, Graham Arnold's gone with this morning. Matty Ryan in goal, of course, the captain. Nathaniel Atkinson, Kai Rowles, Aziz Beige, Harry Souttar. Across the back, Aaron Moy, Riley McGree, Jackson Irvine, Matthew Leckie, Mitch Duke and Craig Goodwin. So that is our starting 11, and amongst the French side, I mean, look at these stars. Mbappe, Olivier Giroud, Dembele, you've got Antoine Griezmann, Ibrahima Konate, so stars galore, Hugo Lloris, the keeper and the captain in goal as well. Now, big fight night tonight, and in the Telegraph today, Latrell $6,000 says Gal's gone. So, well, Latrell Mitchell flew back from the World Cup yesterday. He's gone straight to the weigh-in for the Gallen and Hodges fight tonight there, and he's gone to the weigh-in at Darling Harbour, and he's told News Corp that he's putting his $6,000 World Cup bonus on Hodges to KO Gallen tonight, and he's doing it apparently instead of buying a cow, Loz, for the farm there in Taree. So he might be able to buy a few more if his bet gets up, but that's a big call from Latrell.
It is. I will say this. It's the first time I reckon I've heard Gal talk sort of negatively.
Yeah, yep.
Heading into a fight. Mm. You know, talking about, oh, well, you know, he's getting me at the end and this is my last fight. I've never known Paul Gallen to talk like that, even as a rugby league player. So if Hodjo is going to be a chance, I think tonight is his best chance. I'd still back Gal because I just think he's so mentally strong. But it mightn't be as easy as we all think it's going to be. Obviously, Hodjo thinks he's going to win tonight. But, yeah, with Gal, yeah, it's an interesting one because he's always been so focused on what he needs to do and always been so confident in his ability. But I'll be sort of interested to see how this fight plays out tonight. But I'd still back Gal. I still think the ring craft that he has over Hodjo, if he can stay out of trouble early, I think he just wears him down.
Victor Gomez is the referee from South Africa. We haven't got any beef with the South Africans at the moment, do we? Everything's fine there. Anyway, he's the referee this morning.
Hopefully he's not a cricket fan.
Well, maybe a rugby fan as well. But on the text line, this could get ugly this morning. I'm predicting France win 9-0. Hope we keep them under 10 goals. The critic,
what?
Very negative from the critic.
9-0. That is pants down.
I want to take a... bit of a negative view here. If we got away with a 2-0 loss, is that okay?
No. Oh. No way.
Not
when
no.
Is it ever okay?
Nah, but I mean, being realistic.
Nah, draw is realistic. That's what I'm asking. Even if it's Australia versus Zimbabwe in cricket, no, I want a draw.
In fact, you know what? I think I'm going to back the draw right now.
That's all we're accepting.
What's it?
That or a
what's
win?
A 2-0 France? Not the worst.
What
well,
price?
For instance, okay, you go back to the 2006 World Cup. We had the win against Japan. We had the Brazil. The game, I think everyone penciled in we're going to lose. We lost 2-0. And then we had the draw with Croatia, and we went through. So 2-0, yes, Loz.
Yeah.
No
maybe not
way.
The worst result.
Yeah. No way. Are you joking? We're trying to be okay with a 2-0 loss. No, I'm not okay with that.
No, I'm not okay with it, but I think that
draw,
would be something that we'd be able to get away with to still be able to give us hope to move on.
Patting ourselves on the back, losing 2-0.
No, I'm not patting ourselves on the back. I'm just saying that would be acceptable.
Can you imagine can you imagine going into a game of footy thinking, well, if we only lose by 12 here, you know what? That's a win for us.
No. All the players wouldn't be thinking that, but a lot of the fans think that sometimes. If we're playing against the best team, oh, and we've got three or four out, you're going, geez, I hope we only lose by 12 today.
If we get bowled out for 47, I'll be okay with that.